administrative portion of our meeting. And we have a few items on consent. But before that, I wonder, we've got position number 5009 for a probationary status increase. Randy or Julie, have any questions about that for Julie Prescott?
I do not.
No.
I would just say, Julie, you've done a fantastic job. You've been a real great addition to the staff. I appreciate your thoroughness and your promptness and your calmness. I think it might be a front, the calmness. but it's you're a good addition. Thanks for all your hard work.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's already been 6 months. It goes by quick, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. All right.
Hope it's many, many more. Thanks.
Okay, other than that, I would move passage of the items on consent.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thanks, Daryl. And I see that Kara just walked in. We got a ride to where we're going to on Monday, Hebron?
Yep, I booked a van for you guys to drive.
What time are we leaving? Okay.
Who's driving?
All right. Just get us a note out there at some point. Okay, that concludes the items on consent. So we have some discussion items. Stacy, the state fair. I thought we got rid of the state fair when we got rid of Sheldon, but apparently not. No, I think we talked about this, Stacy.
I guess mainly it was just because I've never done this before. I did check in to make sure that we actually had reserved a booth. We did, but we haven't paid the contract payment yet. So I got an invoice for $400 for that. So I guess that would be the next step. Just wanted to make sure that we're going ahead with it. And then what other things that I need to work on, and I don't know how you guys have handled scheduling and rooms and all that.
Sure. No, I asked Stacy and I visited about this, and I asked her to put it on the today for discussion just to kind of walk through it, because my thought in the state fair is that I think it's worthwhile to have somebody up there, but I don't want it to get out of control where we've got 40 people back and forth up there with all kinds of hotels. And so that was kind of my general thought, is to put some parameters around it. But I wanted to touch base with the two of you and see your thoughts about it.
I'd be interested in staff's feedback on the value. I wasn't there last summer to see what kind of traffic, is it visible? Is it the right venue for us? So I guess we've done it a few years now. I'd invite any staff who have thoughts on that to
I have been up there on several occasions. I spent a day, sometimes a day and a half, and it depends on the traffic. It is interesting the number of people that do come by the booth and ask questions, and some are vary from talking about oil, which we have no responsibility for, but also looking at coal and some of the other pipeline situations. It's interesting, particularly out of Minot, there are a lot of people that came down from Canada, or that were now from Canada, that had questions and wanted to know how our Public Service Commission handled pipeline issues in relation to the Canadian process. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was kind of interesting. I do think it depends on the population or the day and whatever. I know when we had some of the weights and measures people there with some of their equipment, that they had a great turnout, So when we had people that are actually doing some things, people came by and wanted to ask questions about, how do you measure these gas tanks, and how do we know that? So when there's something practical, there was there. And I know one year we had pictures, and we had these pictures from the AML, where we had these sinkholes, and a lot of questions about the sinkholes. So I think there is some merit to it, Commissioner. I think it is visible, and I think we do have people that do stop by, and they do ask. And I know we gave out a lot of cards on the three commissioners, those cards that we have. So I do see some merit to that.
Last year, I had quite a discussion with Charlene and Sarah, that they had spent some time up there, and they had a lot of questions asked of them. You know, people are often confused over what things we regulate and what things we don't. You know, there's certainly a strong perception that we control all the oil activity and can tell the railroads exactly what to pick up when and how much to charge for it. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, where we do have very important responsibilities, there are things that people aren't even aware of that we do. Mm-hmm. And so I think having a booth up there in an area where there's huge amounts of traffic, and yet it's not like a business meeting where people are going and at a certain moment they have to be here and at a certain moment they have to be there. They're up there just seeing sights and enjoying a day or some days, and they stop and ask questions. And especially based on that conversation with those two, and they spent a fair amount of time, it sounded pretty useful.
Good. Well, hearing that, I think it's great for us to be out and available and accessible to folks who want to hear more about us. And so I'm supportive of doing it again then. And I love the idea of having some of our equipment or our tools, like the weights and measures, because that is an area that affects absolutely everybody, and people are kind of intrigued to know that we are the regulators of that. I think that would be neat to have some of those displays available for our site, and the abandoned mine work. Maybe we can think creatively on some of those aspects of our service and sort of jazz up our displays.
Okay, so the question then, I guess, is, or I guess to put some more shape around it, I don't think someone has to be manning the booth 24/7. So that becomes the big staff thing. So if we put together a schedule of who wants to go up there and figure out some kind of cost limits, the expectation is not to have somebody there every day all the time. So if it's the display booth is there, we don't leave a computer around. So I think that was a problem a couple of years ago. We had equipment that we didn't want to leave. So if that's okay with the two of you, just so that, because that becomes a big impact if you try to man that thing all the time.
Yeah, and I think the hours go from like
9
in the morning till 10 at night.
Yeah.
So it listed, so it'd be long days.
Okay, so who's the best person to kind of put this together? Daryl to orchestrate it and Stacey? I don't want to get over it, I guess.
I think
I can help Stacey.
Okay.
I can give her the information, but Stacey sure can set that up.
All right.
To my knowledge, we don't have any rooms reserved or anything at this point, do we?
There is a room reserved, but I know Scott had done that right after last year's. I'd have to look at the file. I think you have the file, or
I do. I didn't see anything about
all
rooms
right.
in there.
Well, we can talk about that later, but I do think that there is rooms reserved.
Well, then you can also kind of pick the times that would have the highest traffic and try to attract staff to those times, I think.
And then, Josh, how do we pay for this thing?
General funds.
Yeah, so we're okay for this year for the general funds. Maybe if as it shapes up, States, you get an idea what you think it might cost, and then we'll go from there.
A lot of it, I looked at the budget for previous years, and a lot of the money was spent on the promotional items. So yep. I guess it depends on what you guys think.
Well, actually, I like the idea about those cups that had one call on them. I mean, I still like that idea. So I think that's some of the value is to get out, promote the program of one call and other things. So I'll let you guys sort that.
Yeah, it's up to you. I think it was like $600 of the budget was just on promotional items last year when I looked.
Okay.
I think one call is a good idea, one call, but I don't think just general PSC items like pens with our, I don't think that would be.
Agreed.
Warranted. But if we can promote the one call number and awareness and use and.
From one call?
I think we ordered them in. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we ordered them in. But I agree with Julie's point. We don't need to promote PSC stuff. The one call would be fine. And maybe even check with. Well, you met him yesterday, Ryan, to see if they have other stuff. And maybe they want to help us in the booth. There's no downside to that, mm-hmm. I don't think. Okay. Give us an update whenever you feel appropriate. All righty. Item 2, B2, what do we have here? Policy review. Mr. Galleon, you've got your final draft that you think. Step to the mic, my friend. Josh and I went through this, and I told him we needed to make sure we all had a chance to look at it. The legal, you've had a chance to review this, and you don't see any errors. Otherwise, it wouldn't be here, right?
Well, I had a question about, I don't know the answer to the safe language for the payback portion, so you're not locked into maybe keeping somebody you don't want to keep. But I know HRMS has probably a way of saying that, so I had recommended that that part be run by HRMS, and I don't know if that was done, but
okay.
Daryl's working on that.
HMRS has it right now, and they have not gotten back to me yet, Delana, but
I don't have B2.
So we did not get B2 out to everyone. Did you by chance have copies, Mr. Gelling?
A copy.
Could you make three more?
Well, here. He'll make some.
She brought all the stuff that was printed right before I came in. But
do you want to do B3?
Okay, B3. Conflict of interest determination. The background on this one, I know that the commission has a policy right now that says in generic that it's family members need to be made aware if they're working at different agencies. Maybe let's do this. I'll have Ilana walk through the policy.
The policy is that a family member working for a regulated utility that you have to be made aware, and the commission, it's considered a conflict unless the commission deems that it's not a conflict. And so for this one, there was a memo describing the situation. And do you all have that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then a proposed motion deeming that it's not a conflict because of the separation of MDU and MDU resources and the accounting tax department or whatever it is at MDU versus regulatory.
Okay. And the I know that for me personally, I looked through this and I thought it's an interesting policy because I think it's one thing if your spouse is working for someone. I think that's a different scenario than if your adult child who's over 18. It's just it's an interesting policy to start with. But in this case, I thought given the fact that it was a adult child working for MDU Resources, not MDU, there I didn't see any potential overlap there. But I know the Commissioner Crispin, you wanted to talk about this, so that's I don't know if you had any thoughts or Julie too, of course, but.
And the fact that it's an internship, not a permanent position, and I think that further undermines any potential conflict of interest.
Well, and I think in one of the sections in the policy book, as far as I think there's several factors here why I'm comfortable this is not a conflict. But you mentioned the adult children of an employee. And that is addressed somewhere in our policy book when they're not on the being deducted on the parents' taxes, and so that's that line is kind of addressed. I'm not sure the status on this particular case as far as that goes, but I do agree that because of the lines across the various MDU parts of the company. And the fact that it's an internship, I guess that's about as far as I went into it, that I'm comfortable that
okay.
I see no problem with this one.
All right. I have a motion that I will offer here in 1 second. But, Alon, I would like to take this policy and let's you and I draft it through a little bit more because I think it's a good policy. But the whole defining a family member, really, I think it becomes the follow-through of I have a viewpoint of if it's a spouse, it's a whole different than if I've got a daughter. If she gets a job somewhere and she's 30 years old, it just doesn't seem to. There's a line there somewhere between direct family. So I think it's something that maybe we should tweak.
Yes, and it just needs to be defined appropriately. It's emancipated, and the situation with college students is a lot of them file their own taxes, so you can do financial aid separately, but
yep.
They're still financially dependent.
But our policy is needs to be updated.
Should be clear. Clearer in here.
So yeah. Let's do that. Okay.
I do appreciate, though, that it included the piece that unless it's deemed to be not a conflict. So it gives us the freedom to do that.
Right.
Absolutely.
On a case by case, which kind of.
And I do appreciate Jen and Jerry both giving us the information because that's the biggest thing. I always like to know what's going on, and so we're not blindsided on stuff. So I appreciate that. So unless one of you has anything else, I'll offer the motion.
Good.
Okay. I move the commission deem under policy 1-21-78, parent 5, that it is not a conflict of interest for the child of the employee in position number 5031 to work as a summer intern in the tax and internal audit department of MDU Resources Group, Inc.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right. Thank you, Darrell. Okay, so we're back to the Josh policy review performance recruitment bonus. And now we all have a copy of it. So, all right, where are we at? You said Human Resources is reviewing this. And other than that, we should be good to go unless one of us has questions.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that's where I'll offer up my colleagues if they have any particular concerns. Josh is very eager to get this moved through.
Did staff read through this? Do any of the directors or staff have any input or concerns?
Directors have had twice now for input.
Okay. Did you get any?
Yes.
Oh, you did. Okay. Can you kind of explain what that was?
I don't have all my notes and the changes. I know Jim provided some, Alana provided some, Pat had some. A lot of it was, just corrections, the way it was worded, changes to the payback part of it a little bit.
So it was mostly useful suggestions that were implemented or
most
bad ideas that you just blew off?
Most of them were implemented, yes.
Well, maybe what we could do is we have a director's meeting this afternoon, only at 3. So we could kind of talk about it one more time, I guess, then. If you want to do that, that's fine.
Well, I feel like I should read it one final time, and I didn't. Sure. Haven't done that, Josh. I apologize. Sorry.
Okay, so let's do that. We'll talk about it at 3. And then what do we need to approve this? Just a motion to approve it, correct?
Yes, to adopt it.
Yeah.
A general question about having gotten to this, but what do we have for payback requirements in here if people don't stay? And then I'm kind of looking at Alana on the second part of the question. Is whatever we have in here enforceable?
Well, that's the question that I don't know either. There's not only the enforceable, but would we be backed into a corner somehow? You got to get the language just right so you can do both without being something enforced against you. And that's where I would need HR's guidance. Just because I know a while back I had a conversation with them, but I didn't take any good notes or anything. So I think they'll have the advice on that.
And as I was looking at this, this is a policy that gives us an option, an opportunity to do these. We still would have to draft a written agreement between the commission and the employee, and that does not exist at this point.
For each one separately.
For each one separately, defining the terms. And in those defined terms, I think, you know, you could, you know, that's essentially creating the contract. That'll determine how things are handled.
Some other agencies are doing this, so we'd have kind of a format to work off of, or are those all confidential agreements that we can't get a look at, or what?
I don't have a copy one, but I could sure ask.
I think we'll be able to get some, but that's the key, a contract, because normally state employees do not have a contract of employment, and you don't want them to. So that's what we want to tweak and be sure we write very carefully, but we'll get guidance from those who do it for a living.
Okay.
Hold on. I guess since we have to vote on this, maybe can we just talk through some of this now, or are we...
Whatever you want, that's fine.
Maybe we could do that, and then we can finish this up and vote on it today and be done.
I don't know that we want to vote on it today, Julie.
Okay. All right.
We're just trying to advance the discussion, not to... Josh is doing a good job keeping this moving forward, because...
I think it looks really good. I just think it warrants just talking through it, rather than just having everybody read it on their own, but talking through it kind of...
Maybe this afternoon would be best.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking today. Unless we have something else come up, I wanted to talk about performance bonuses and how we'll do the pay raises for this right now, what we're in. Talk about evals, and then this could be the major part of the discussion this afternoon, unless something else comes up. That's kind of what I was thinking for the director's meeting.
Sounds good. We're not doing pay raises this year.
I never said that. There you go, starting rumors again. Huh?
For the record, just kidding.
Oh, yes.
Jokes are supposed to be funny, Randy. Yeah.
You don't mess people's pay or their food. That's all.
You're getting in deep there.
Oofta. All right. Commissioner Fedorchak, NARUC June 28th workshop. June 28th, isn't that a Saturday?
I'm not sure when it is, but this came up. There's a little flyer in your boulders. I don't know if we have more information than this or not, but this is on 111D compliance, which sure. I'm sad to say I actually know what a 111D is and use it as if everybody else does too. But I noticed here a limited amount of travel support will be available to state agencies through partnership with US EPA. So I didn't know if we wanted to talk about sending somebody. I can't go on July 28th, but I don't know if, Randy, if that's something you're interested in, if we want to send a staff member to take part in this or how we want to proceed.
Well, when I seen this, it is kind of interest, and
mm-hmm.
I do have that day free at this point. So I think it is something to consider because it's
I feel like someone should be
important issue
there.
In North Dakota. Yeah. But I only just seen this morning, so okay. I haven't had time to.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to throw it out there for discussion. And if we want to try to do the travel, I guess I was thinking NARUC when I saw travel support. I initially thought it was through NARUC. And I don't know if I necessarily feel like we need to use EPA's money to get there for this. I'm not so tied to that. But let's look at it. And I think we should have somebody from the commission, a commissioner or staff, attend. So.
Okay. And then I think it's the subject line says June 28th. In the text it says July 28th. So I bet it is July 28th.
Yeah.
So I didn't notice that subject line. I thought it was. I was thinking of July 28th, June 28th. I would not be able to go.
I think it's July 28th.
Well, and
okay, and I'm planning on going to NARUC, which is 2 weeks before. I don't know if you two are going out there, so there might be some discussion then too.
Yeah, I'm going out for a short time to that meeting.
Okay. So how about Commissioner Crispin? If you decide not to go, let us know, and then we'll see if there's someone else going out there.
Very good.
Okay. Ready then. Sound good, Julie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything else for discussion that is not on here from my colleagues or anybody in the audience?
I had one other item that I wanted to discuss, and it was just to get our heads together on the follow-up on the rail discussion last week.
Okay.
I've since had discussions with Milky, where did I put my notes? Hold on a second. Randy, I don't know if you've already done something to the railroads, but I think it would be helpful if you haven't for us to do a follow-up letter formalizing the request for what we expect back from them in terms of reports and information. So I just throw that out there. We want to get your thoughts and update on what.
I think, too, we should. I started on a draft on it on Friday and didn't get finished and haven't gotten back to it this week and prepping for today. So it's not done yet, but I'll try and get a draft done.
Okay.
And then shop it around for suggestions.
And then in that, just things on top of my mind are the delay times that you talked about in the meeting with them, delay times from when the car is released to the time it's pulled. And then John Milkey also suggested in my conversation with him, another thing to request, and I think this is a good idea, is the time from when it's pulled, the transit times from origination to destination, because it could be pulled and sit in another yard sometimes. So the total transit time from when it's pulled to when it reaches its final destination would be another thing to request. And then from both CP and BN, BN offered to provide it. I don't know that CP did. I can't quite remember. but the weekly status report on there, how far backlogged they are in their wait times for delivering the cars. CP didn't even appear to have a way of calculating that based on how they run their schedule. But I still think we need to have some tool to get a sense for, are they making any progress or not?
Yeah, they didn't appear real concerned about it.
Right. Well, and my thought here is that we give them, and we may want to set this out in the letter as well, a set amount of time, 30 days, 6 weeks, to monitor and see if there's progress being made. And if there isn't, then we can pull the trigger on the next step, which might be, a more formal investigation or something of that nature.
You know, just waiting until the end of July and then finding out that the new crop's coming in and nothing has happened, then it's too late.
Right.
So,
well, let me ask a question on the legal side of it. And I agree with everything you said, Julia. That's a good idea, and it makes sense to encapsulate that in a formal document. But if we do end up going down the road of filing suit against the railroad on behalf of shippers, the question is that we'd have to show some type of preference to one group or the other. That's the way I understand it. Is that, in a 10,000-foot look, is that basically the issue?
That's one of the issues. I mean, I think that's an issue of a regulated utility, which is what they are.
Right.
Is undue discrimination or preference or... And that can trickle down into rates or lack of service or...
And I guess that's the thing that in this letter that puts something in there that clarifies what exactly our jurisdiction is a setup that, listen, do you guys understand this is serious, that if you don't answer these questions, we will then continue to exercise our right under North Dakota Century Code to do what we're supposed to do. So it's, I think that's where I think that some at the table from the railroads felt that they came in and dealt with us for the day, and then we're going to go away on this. But we have to make it clear that we're not going away until we get the answers under the jurisdiction.
Well, I think the line in the statute, I mean, it's very it's general, but it's on point, and we can quote that.
I think so.
And it kind of comes down to their common carrier obligation to provide reasonable service.
Yep.
And we're determining whether they're providing reasonable service. And their response to this is a key piece of beginning to make that determination. And we'll provide the grounds for a further investigation if we get some information back that suggests that it's not reasonable.
Sounds good. Anything else, Commissioner?
Nope, I'll get that put together.
Cool. Well, I was wondering,
if possible.
Let me ask you to this, and then we obviously had a chance to talk about it, but Daryl kind of took the lead on getting that railroad stuff put together. We've always had the question about who our staff lead on the railroad is. I wonder if this is an opportunity for Daryl to volunteer or to move forward. I don't know if you guys, because we don't really have a staff lead. Maybe that's something that you guys want to talk about or you have talked about. I don't know.
Well, we never have, and I will say this. This meeting was well put together and well planned, and in fact, one of the shippers sent an email and said that he's been in many, many meetings regarding rail service with federal people, with state people, with just other shippers, with railroads, and he thought this was one of the most useful meetings that he's heard, where people were treated fairly, but we got into good subject matter and that sort of thing, and was just very complimentary of what he heard that day. But I just wanted to throw that out because Daryl and whoever else worked on it did a good job. But I don't know what our future is with rail regulation as far as staff, because I don't know really... there hasn't been a lot done on it. I think what's been done has been done by Daryl. But is the next step more legal? Is anything that goes beyond what we've been doing going to wind up being?
Oh, absolutely. I think their general counsel legal always issues there for everybody. I was just thinking of, I think it's a good idea to go back to what the commission did years ago about having an annual rail shipper summit. That seemed like that was a really good thing. And so if nothing else, the staff lead would be to put that around, whether it's the Grainman's Convention or whatever. But I would think our attorney is always going to be there for whatever you need. But, like, you know, Steve's IT, and then we have our attorney. You know, Jim's got Reclamation, our IT, and we can maybe look at Daryl being Railroad and have our attorney. If that's...
I think if Daryl's interested in it and it's and you seem to enjoy it and...
Give you half out of the deal.
Yeah. I'd be glad to do that.
The other thing that Alana suggested, and I think this might be worth thinking about now, was if we want to sort of position... to be able to act more quickly, we could start looking at the process of requesting some outside counsel or expertise to help us determine if there's a case here. And so just putting together an RFP or however we do that again, it sends another message that we're serious, and it also positions us to act more quickly if we get information that moves us in that direction.
How did, years ago, how did we get to that point that it was determined that it was basically a case that we would want Washington, D.C. law firm working on, and do you think the situation we're in now is comparable?
Well, I would recommend that if you are going to litigate in front of the STB, you're going to litigate the big railroads in front of the STB, you get counsel that handles that kind of case. I would say I'm not qualified to handle it. I don't know if there's anybody in the AG's office that would have time, interest, or qualifications to handle it. It would be like, you know, getting in FERC or the FCC. So what I recall, and I did a very quick little summary of the process, I looked back at it is all docketed, so you can go into the system with that case number I had sent around if you need to see how things happen in what order. But there were several RFPs issued sequentially. I didn't recall that for the attorneys, but there was one even for the attorneys, but I think it's because it was for a package, because it was – expertise, subject matter expertise, and legal. The first one was to study the matter and see if there was a case. That there wasn't just everyone's kind of instinct and knowledge from hearing about problems that was the case. There was a lot of subject matter research that went into determining whether there was a case. And I think you face kind of the same thing here. You have enough information that you know there's a problem, but you would need some expertise in making sure that you could put all those ducks in a row and get all those facts lined up.
Well, and that was my point about the letter sent to now. We need to start setting the stage as building a package.
Yes.
And so that's where the $900,000 rail rate fund, that's what I would assume that we would use for this.
Yes.
And so that's the trigger. I would suspect there would have to be, we probably should get this letter drafted up, but then maybe even formalize this a little bit amongst ourselves, maybe even have a separate discussion. But that's a good idea.
And that first RFP, I think, would follow the previous one, which is where you're asking for the expertise, whether it's legal or subject matter or both, to help you determine what kind of case you have and how good it is.
And if we go down that road, it's not a matter of going to the STB and saying service is really poor. Am I right that it needs to be a particular shipper that
absolutely
that is the lead of the case?
I don't honestly know what this. I can't tell you how to formulate that complaint. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
But so we'd be making a complaint based on hard evidence.
And you'd need that legal expertise that would help you with all those STB laws and rules and piece parts you're fitting it into.
Well, maybe could Alana and Daryl look at the previous RFP and come up with a recommendation for what we would say in this case, and then we could do these two items in tandem, look at developing IRFP, perhaps finalizing it, getting it out, and the letter following up. So the rails get that soon and know what we're looking for and what our expectations are.
So are you suggesting we already issue an RFP to seek legal counsel?
Well, I think we should at the very least get that ball rolling so we don't spend a couple weeks doing that down the road. So we can look at it and we can issue it. And Alana made the point this to me this morning is just because you issue an RFP doesn't mean you have to act on it either. You just you can tweak it. And I just think we need to get that ball rolling.
I think that a lot of questions are going to fall into place when you start, when somebody like Daryl and I try to start formulating the first paragraph and the second paragraph and the third paragraph of that RFP. That's going to gel a lot of questions,
focus.
Steps, focus, and it's going to take some time. And I'm not even advocating that it get issued at this point, but it is going to take some time. It is not something that would be we could produce on a moment's notice. So that was one reason it came to the top of my head. I just know how those things work, and it's a new area for us. And then when you see it, you're going to say to yourselves, well, that's not what I thought we were doing, or that's great, or whatever, and it could take more time, but it helps everybody's thought process, mm-hmm. I think, to try to put it into some kind of organization like that. That's why I suggested it.
Well, I think it's good for us to get started on our end. I guess I wouldn't be ready to be sending it out yet to
law firms. Yeah, no, we'd have to see a draft and tweak.
Yeah, you know. I guess I thought that was pretty far off, too, but I think the work of doing it will help everybody a little bit.
Why don't I add to scheduling a rail update, and we'll put something in the calendar.
Okay. So. Yep.
Okay. Anything else for discussion? Okay. We'll move down to scheduling. Mr. Lane, you schedule work sessions. You want a work session on the wind decommissioning for Minn Kota and for Basin? Is that something that you put on the calendar that we don't need anymore?
Didn't we already do those?
Yeah. Grab a mic, chair, so we can get you on the record. I thought we were to the point where you were going to draft up those orders, and then you and I were going to go through them, and then if my colleagues wanted to tweak it, because I don't think we need work sessions on them, but unless there's something that I missed.
What does the commission want to do here? Randy, were you interested in a working session?
Well, I'd sure want to see any kind of a plan or a motion, you know, well in advance of,
yeah,
of having a meeting and voting
session.
On it.
We had the work session on these, and I think we were pretty clear on the Basin Electric one and the Minn Kota one, maybe a little bit of questions, but I thought we were going to get to where Jerry and I would draft up an order and let you guys look at it, and if we need a work session, then we would do it, if that's okay with you two.
The Minn Kota is the single tower?
By Valley City and
two single
Petersburg.
Two single towers, yeah. Yeah, I thought we already had the work session on this, too.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Yep. As long as we have some time, though, because, yeah. I mean, this is one where...
You
as you shop it around there, we might have some suggested changes too. So,
sure, I'll put something together here pretty quickly.
Yeah, if you could do that, get it staffed out, Jared, then we'll hopefully get something on the next meeting to vote on. But in the meantime, if you staff something out and one of my colleagues wants a work session, then we'll do one. So there's no need to do that. Alrighty.
I have a question. I caused a little bit of this, I think.
Thank you, Alana.
Yeah, I did, because my first thought when I saw the orders was that we don't need you wouldn't have orders, so and that may be why, you know, the question came up. The standard rule would be you issue an order after there's a notice, and we didn't have any kind of notice. I realize you're probably closing the investigations or thinking that way, but
Here's the question,
thinking you need an order for those two cases?
We just did the FPL ones. We issued mm-hmm. those for hearings. But I thought during the work session, the three of us basically said we're just going to close these.
Mm-hmm.
And now we put the actual words together. That's Jerry's got to work that. So
you could do that with a motion.
Yeah. So we don't. That's
okay.
That's where I thought we all three were at.
Okay.
It's just that when you and I talked that day, I hadn't had a chance to review all those things.
Right.
So we asked for still haven't seen them yet.
A motion, not an order.
Right. It's a little awkward to write an order when there hasn't been, like, any issues or any your order would say about what your motion would say if you really want an order. We'd say we'd open this investigation and we're choosing not to do anything further we'll look at it later or something like that. I mean, I'm not exactly sure because I wasn't involved in the main part of the discussion, but I think motions are sufficient for closing cases, and they don't lock you into any future action either way.
So in the case of the basin, the motion or would say that we are going to consider those two the two towers as part of a larger project. I mean, can we do that much in and then they would be decommissioned at the time of that project? Is that appropriate for a motion, or do we need something more orderly, like an order for that?
We'll see. And again, we can work out the specifics, but I wanted to clear up order versus motion at the for our instructions here. But
I thought, I think you're muddying the waters here.
Okay.
We had we had the discussion, and we agreed that we would definitely do orders on the FPL ones, and so that's what we did. What we did today.
Yeah.
Now, if I misunderstood what my colleagues said, I thought during the work sessions we basically decided we would do motions,
okay,
basically closing those out and not dealing with the one, and the other ones we'd deal with them at a later date, and that would be appropriate for motions.
Right. Exactly. And
so
I'll
putting that in a motion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did I misstate what I thought you guys said?
Nope, that's what I want to do.
Yeah,
okay,
so then we're back to Jerry, just get those motions put together and staff them around, and we'll deal with them. If there's changes, we'll have a work session.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. All righty, let's see. Item C3, PSC biennial budget. Josh, what were we going to talk about? I'm sure I asked you to put it on here.
You wanted a meeting with everybody to kind of talk through it?
Yeah, okay, because you and I went through all the other stuff before, and we had the business ops meetings, and we're going to clarify some of that. Okay, so this is with everybody, that my colleagues and all the division heads, correct?
Yes, sir. Is that something this afternoon?
No, I think we're already full for that one.
Well, and don't we get more information about the biennial budget tomorrow?
Tomorrow afternoon.
And so anything before that would be guessing anyway, right?
But let's put something on the calendar so we all can kind of go through it a little bit more. When do you think that I'll talk about it more. We've talked before with the different directors about giving you their inputs for what they think they'll need. That discussion, I presume, is ongoing still.
Yes.
So when do you think you'll have a good look at what the budget will look like based on everybody's input that we could do this meeting?
End of the month, I bet, would be best. End of May.
So like the 20s, well, let's look here.
That way we have the governor's guidelines. We'll know what we're supposed to be planning. We'll be able to start fine-tuning some things.
For some reason, I have May 27th wide open. No, it's a Tuesday.
Oh.
It's the day after Memorial Day.
Well, from 10 to noon that day, I have Upper Great Plains Transportation Institute.
Is that in town here or over there?
No, it's here, I believe. Let me just double check.
The afternoon, 27?
Yeah, it's in Bismarck.
Probably after, let's see, I'm a 1:30 that might take an hour and a half. But I'm available, after 2:30 or 3, probably.
Are we scheduling these in the proper order? You know, it would seem to me for just a small group of us, and we probably have more flexibility with some of these than things like Highland Crude, and should we maybe schedule those? It might be tougher first. So we don't fill up dates and then struggle to get those in.
It's not a bad point.
We can, but the May ones we won't be able to get Highland anyway because of the notice period.
Okay.
True.
So were we on the afternoon of the 27th? Is that what?
After 3 or the 29th, I'll look at that. I got the afternoon of the 29th is wide open for me too. Maybe if we go a little bit earlier, it might be better. Than
late morning on the 29th?
That's fine.
11?
Did you say 29th?
Yeah.
I'm just checking
that
one.
That works for me.
So like 10 o'clock, Julie?
Sure.
Okay. And then, so Stacy and I had a meeting at 10 o'clock on the 29th to talk about the MARC conference. Can we move that to the afternoon, you and I and John? Stacy and I and John are going to the MARC conference, and they're the two staff people coming along. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Okay, so what did we just decide? 10 a.m. on the 29th, full budget update. And so directors, and we'll talk more this afternoon, but get your stuff into Josh, what you think you'll need for the next biennium so he can put it together, and we'll go from there. Okay. Stephen Call wants an IT meeting. Actually, you want an IT meeting because I asked you to put it on here, didn't you? What's the topic of the meeting again? About IT decisions, what you're going to buy and not buy, right?
Yeah, both this buying and looking
at. I need to run that by my colleagues since there are three of us. When are you ready?
We'll do it right after the full budget update.
Okay. Does that matter before the budget meeting? Because then we can give it Josh.
We can probably do it sooner than that.
Okay.
For some reason, May 15th is wide open for me.
Yeah, I'm tied up that day.
Okay. May 14th is open too, the afternoon.
Sorry.
Okay.
How about?
The morning.
The morning of which one?
The 14th.
That's fine too.
Can we do it early, like 8:30?
Whatever works for you guys. That's fine. 8:30? Okay. Randy, that work for you?
Yep.
8:30 on May 14th. So, Steve, you can kind of give us, bring in that day the gold, silver, bronze package of what you think you want, and then we can roll those numbers, what we decide there, into Josh's budget stuff. Sound reasonable? Possibly. Okay. Okay. All
Make
right.
Sure you have number 4 on the agenda, too, on the salary and bonus allocation.
I think I'm going to just roll that into this afternoon's discussion.
Okay.
Okay. Hearing.
So we do need work sessions on those in June.
Work sessions on what?
For C4.
Oh, what work sessions are you talking about? What do you mean?
For the decisions on the allocation to decide.
Right.
You can talk generally about those today, but we do need a time to.
Let's hold off on those till later, like for Randy's point, so we don't take dates now that we might need for some other stuff in June.
Yes, because those will be.
Can you just roll this into the next meeting? We'll schedule the next meeting.
Okay.
Fair point.
You mean the meeting this afternoon or in 2
weeks? The meeting, the next PSC meeting.
Because we won't have any more hearings other than this added between now and then. So.
Yeah. Okay, back to this. Julie Prescott, what do you have for dates?
All right, Mr. Chairman, we're looking at possibly the earliest would be June 17th or June 27th in June. And then there's numerous dates in July if you need to go forward.
They only give us 2 dates. Only 2 that you could work with everybody.
It's incredibly difficult. The 17th would actually be the best because Kara already visited with the city of Williston regarding City Hall, and they're available that day. We could check other venues of June.
17th works better for me than the 27th. But
I think the 17th works for me, but let me just double check something really quick. Does it work for you, Brian?
I can move stuff around if I need to for hearings.
Hold on, let me see.
And there are numerous dates in early July that would work also.
It's always better sooner than later in these things, though. So if we can make the 17th work, that's all my stuff at the 17th is individual meetings I can move.
17th, yeah, looks good.
Can you do it? All right, Randy, you said you're good. Mm-hmm. Sold. That was easy.
Thank you.
Can we do it in the morning, though? Like, I start it in the morning, not...
Oh, absolutely, yeah, because we're going to have to go up to Williston.
Yeah.
So 10 o'clock start time, or do you want to start earlier than that? Doesn't matter to me.
Let's see.
10 o'clock start times means we leave about 8:30, like always.
This one.
Randy's?
At the latest.
Yeah, at the latest, maybe 9:30. Should we do 9:30 start time?
No, if we leave at 8:30. It takes more than an hour to get to Williston. So it's only a half hour then to get over there, remember?
All right, let's start at 10 and we'll leave at 8.
Okay. Sound good?
Yep.
Start at 10, leave at 8. Kara, get us a ride.
We need help with transportation in Williston. I have 2 siblings there, so. Plus the taxi lady, she's always interesting.
All right, well, that wasn't too difficult. And then, Commissioner Fedorchuk, you'd like a work session on our famous MDU Menards, Inc. Discussion we just had.
Wanted to get that on the calendar here.
Okay. Tell us when you'd like to do it. How quick?
Jerry, is there any strategic, is there any hope that these guys will work this out still? Or?
I doubt it. They're upset with each other.
Yeah.
You got that, too.
But I think that we put the findings of fact, proposed findings and stuff 3 weeks out. So we were looking at it coming in like Memorial weekend after Memorial weekend. So we're probably looking at sometime in June have to be in a position to really have a good work session.
Okay. Or what about, are you guys around the morning of the 30th?
Of May?
May.
We won't have had the proposed findings long enough for me to do anything with them at that point, I don't think.
You won't, we get them on the 23rd?
When's Memorial? I guess I was thinking it was later.
No, Memorial is the...
Okay.
Weekend before.
26th, so...
Sure, then, if we go like a week after that.
Well, if they said 3 weeks and our hearing was on last Friday, that would be the 23rd that they'd have you the order, proposed orders. And then the 30th is a week later. Is that enough time?
I think they were talking about 3 weeks from Monday.
Was that when we had that hearing?
No, from just past Monday.
3 weeks was at least
yesterday. Three weeks from yesterday.
Okay. So you'd like to go into... Okay. Well, I'm
no,
not...
No, Julie, I think your idea of the 30th, we go with what we got because it'll probably be worthwhile the three of us to talk even if we haven't had a full chance to review that stuff.
When do you leave for Mark?
The next week.
You don't leave that Friday?
No, I'm going to leave like Mark. Saturday probably.
Okay.
Or no, Sunday. Yeah, the first
like
week.
On the 8th or the 1st?
First.
And that week is shot for me, the first week of June.
Well, let's try for the 30th and see.
Sure.
Does that work, Jerry? And then if you're jammed up, we can.
Okay, so what time?
Should we do like 9 or?
Okay. Randy, that work for you? 9 a.m. on the 30th?
Okay.
Alrighty, and I put down rail update. We talked a lot about that, but maybe we should come back and have a discussion on that. What time frame you think for that? Today is the 6th. If we did that also on the 30th? Afterwards? Was that too long?
Do we want to do this after we get the information from the railroads? Or
we could
flush out. Do it in like a week to talk about the RFP stuff?
Whatever you want. I'm open either way.
Randy, do you have preference?
Commissioner.
I can see positives both ways.
I won't have anything much prepared in a week because I have 3 days off coming up here.
Okay.
On Mother's Day. But, you know, the letter issue is one thing. You might need a meeting to get the letter out. And then the RFP could be at the next conversation. So I don't know if you need a work session at all for that the letter or a meeting to agree to it. I don't know. If you have
well, the letter we'll have to do that sooner than a week.
Right.
I'm wondering... Let's see if we get a first draft of the letter, if it's close enough that we don't need to make substantive changes, and we can just go ahead with the letter without another meeting. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
I have confidence in Randy's ability to capture it. So, I don't know. Let's put something on the schedule for next week. Well, let's see.
That afternoon of the 30th is not going to work very well for me if we go on that one.
Okay. Let's see. The week of the 19th is really crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's in. And so, like, towards the end of next week, the 15th?
That would be fine, the end.
I thought you had a conflict.
Oh, I do have a... What if we did, like, 2 o'clock or 2:30 later in the 15th, like 3?
Didn't we start talking once about the 27th, and we couldn't use it because I had that Upper Great Plains, but that's just from 10 to noon, so.
Yeah, then I have an early afternoon thing, but...
But this shouldn't be a long meeting, should I? We could do it in the morning earlier. I only have to get downtown by 10.
Okay. Or I would say, like, by 3 o'clock on the 15th, I'd be done. If we want to do it a little sooner.
How's your 15th look, Randy?
I thought I scheduled something for that. No, that was the 14th. Yeah, it's fine.
Let's go with that, and then if we need another one, which but that we can get to, that's
yeah, keep the
just still keep the momentum going.
May 13th at 3 o'clock.
15th.
15th at 3 o'clock.
And that's to kind of take a first look at our potential RFP.
And by then, hopefully, the letter may have already gone out, and we could
yeah
talk about that. Okay. All right. Anything I missed for scheduling from anyone? Okay. I have no closing comments. Randy, Julie.
I do not either.
Okay. Going once, going twice. We'll close the administrative portion of our meeting.